Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners. Good morning, Running for Christ Ministries. Hi, my name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I'm here to bring you 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let us pray. My Father in heaven, strengthen us to do your will so we can glorify you. Help us to take your word and apply it to our everyday lives. Help us to draw near to you as you draw near to us so that we can see your good and pleasing ways manifest in our spiritual growth. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to recap chapter 8. In chapter 8, Paul wanted the Corinthians to know that the Macedonian churches had less to give, but they were cheerful givers. The Corinthians had planned before the Macedonians even came on board for helping Jerusalem. The Corinthians had already planned to do it. So Paul just wanted them to know how much the Macedonian churches, how eager they were and how they jumped into play as far as doing what was needed to be done. The Corinthians were rich in many areas, but they were slow to give. So Paul boasted about how the Macedonians wanted to give sincerely, so the Corinthians, being rich, would give their share in abundance to those who were less fortunate as well. Okay, and then we open up now here in chapter 9. Chapter 9 says, verse 1 says, I really don't need to write you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help. And I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers who began giving. Now here he says that it's unnecessary for me to write you about the offering that is to be made for the saints in Jerusalem, yet he did so anyway. That's why the scriptures tells us it was unnecessary. But Paul felt it was necessary so the Corinthians would go ahead and act on what they planned a year ago. Like I said, they had planned way before Macedonia to give to the church, but the churches, but they still wasn't actively doing it. So Paul is trying to light a fire to get them motivated to go ahead and give. It says he was urging them to act because of the needs of the other believers. Paul knew their eagerness to promote this cause, and he proudly boasted to the people of Macedonia, telling them that Corinth had been prepared a year ago. And when the Macedonians heard this, it inspired them to respond. And they became contagious with the grace of giving and decided to give wholeheartedly. This is how God wants all believers to respond. You know, everything about giving, it first starts with love and giving from your heart. When you give from your heart, then you have done what it takes to please God in the art of giving. You know, amen. Now, verses 1 and 2 is just letting us know that we can show enthusiasm in what we do, and it can bring somebody else on board. It could make somebody else want to react in the same way, or somebody else to want to help that same cause. The footnote says that by describing their own enthusiasm had incited the Macedonians to give. Paul was in effect prodding the Corinthians to rekindle the initial enthusiasm for giving. Paul wasn't naive about human behavior. The start and the end of a marathon are much more thrilling than the miles in between. So it takes determination from Paul to make sure that he keeps everybody enthusiastic about giving. Amen. You know, just as a teammate would cheer their runner in a race, so Paul was sending Titus and two other believers to Corinthians to Corinth to cheer them on. Amen. Verses 3 says, "But I am sending these brothers to be sure you are really ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you." So he's letting them know that he's sending these two men ahead to make sure everything runs smoothly, that they do what they promised that they were going to do, and that he looks good in front of God and in front of the people. Paul reminds the Corinthians to fulfill their commitment they had already made. They had said they would collect a financial gift to send to the church in Jerusalem. So Paul was sending the men ahead to make sure the gift was ready. It says, "So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly." So again, Paul is sending these people so that everything can run smoothly, that what he, you know, what he stated he would do or could do, that it be done in a proper manner where everybody is pleased. Everybody's pleased with who's over the money. He's pleased with the people that he assigned to take care of the money. He's just making sure that he's covering all his bases so that whatever he do is in God's honor. And the people see that, so they know that what they're doing is also under God's leadership and in God's honor. Okay. And here in verses 6, this one, you know, we hear this parable a lot. And these parables are given to kind of help you to understand the concept that he's trying to teach us. So, again, this is to ensure what was given is from the heart, not under pressure or at the last moment. He wanted the collection to go smoothly. We know this ourselves in church. We pray in. We, you know, we pass out the envelopes, we sing a song or something to give everybody time to get the information put on the envelopes so that when the collection plate comes around that you're ready. So that's exactly what Paul is doing. He's setting them up to be ready to give. You know, and then everything goes smoothly. Then verse 6 begins to talk about, it's a parable. It says, "Remember this, farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Amen. This parable is used so that we understand. A generous sowing of seed is necessary if there is to be a generous harvest. Amen. Now remember this, he who sows generously so that the blessings may come to others also will reap generously and be blessed. So that's what this parable is all about, is letting us know that if we give generously to bless others, in return, we will be blessed. Amen? This is showing us when we sow, it is less proportionate to the harvest, meaning that no matter how much we give, the amount we give isn't as important as the attitude we have about giving. And, you know, you can plant a tiny seed, but what sprouts from that seed is more abundant than what you put in the ground. So this parable is to let us know that no matter how much the amount that we give, as long as we continue to give, we'll continue to make it that money or that time, whatever it is that you give, because it's always not monetary. But whatever you're doing, you will get more out of it than what you put into it. Amen. And it says no matter what, how much we give, the amount we give isn't as important as the attitude we have about giving. God himself is a cheerful giver. Consider the things that God has done for us. So giving is just another way to please God and a joyful God who we are creating in. So that's what it means, you know, to be Christ-like and telling us that we're created in God's image. It is certain things that are in the Bible that they're repeated repetitively. And these two chapters that I've done repeatedly tells us to give, and to give from the heart, to give out of love. And it tells us that God gave first, showing us, giving us an example to follow. It says, looking at all these things, you must not forget about what your own immediate needs, but we are to give out of the love we have and enthusiasm. Cheerful giving is born of love. God loves to see a Christian who cares, who are so filled with the joy of the Lord that they want to share with others whatever it is they have. This allows the Lord to delight in the one whose heart is in his gift. So it brings the Lord pleasure for us to give from our heart and not to be reluctant, not to feel that this is what you have to do, but to actually want to do it and be enthusiastic about it. So the Lord delights in us when we respond that way. Okay, now moving on. It says, now here we have a promise. Okay. Where it says, and God generously will provide all you need, then you shall always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. It says, now here we have a promise that if a person wants to be generous, the grace of God given us allows us to have the resources, not only to maintain our own necessities, but also every good work or act of charity. So that's letting us know that still again, when you give, and you know, and a lot of times, you know, we get a little hesitant because we feel that, oh, well, maybe I won't be able to pay this if I give this. But if you give from your heart, then I will make sure that you have all that you need. And he will continue to give you So then, and again, and in return, you're getting that abundance from God. So it, you will always have enough to share to help people less fortunate. Amen. It said, again, in this verse, these verses discuss a man who has been generous in sowing. This time it refers to acts of kindness. That's why, again, this parable is used, because the sowing is the act of kindness. It refers to the acts of kindness when given to the poor. This means that if we show kindness as a sower, scatter seeds, we will be laying up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Because a lot of times the promises that are made to us are not for us in this world and this time. That's why now we're supposed to be taking a step to dwell with God for eternity and storing treasures in heaven, so that when we get there, once again, we'll take all our needs are met. Amen. So reading verses 10 through 15, it says, "For God is the one who provides the seed to the farmer, then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you." Again, this is stating that when you give and God provides for you to give, it makes you more generous. God gives us the resources to use and invest for him. And that's why Paul used the illustration of the seed to explain the resources God gives us are not to be hidden, foolishly devoured, or thrown away. Instead, they should be cultivated in order to produce more crops. When we invest what God has given us in his work, he will provide us with even more to give in his service. Amen. And so when you tie all this together, like I said, it's repeated over and over. Love, give, love, give. That's what it's about. Whether it's your time, your money, whether it's just studying, going to the Sunday school, going to Bible, all this is serving God. And he delights in knowing that we're becoming disciples and we're trying to serve him. Amen. Okay, then here in chapter 10, it just lets us know again that, you know, God provides. So everything we have from God. So even, you know, if he gives you the seeds to plant, he don't want you to take part of them seeds and store them away from you. He wants you to plant them all, because then he'll make sure you have bread to eat. He'll make sure that crop prospers. God has given us the supplies we need to show kindness to others. So he provides the seed to the sower and the bread to provide and multiply your seed. He multiplies your resources and increase the harvest of your righteousness as well. You know, when you do something and somebody do something for you, then it makes you want to do right. It makes you want to be righteous. And that's what God is planting in us through these scriptures. He's painting us a picture of being righteous and doing what's right in his eyesight. It says, this shows in itself act of goodness, kindness, and love. Again, we are being shown how to be Christ-like. As God increases our ability to give, in return, we increase our generosity. And then the rewards increase accordingly. And then verse 11 says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take gifts of those who need them, when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So this enriches the giver, so they become generous, producing thanksgiving to God from all those who benefit from the giver. Act of kindness has a reaction and is out of proportion to the gift given. As the apostles look on, they saw growing in the grace of it all goes back to God. The glory is to God, you know, that you cared enough, that you love enough, that you wanted to show and do your part. It all goes back to God. Okay, and it also says Paul wanted the readers to be generous on every occasion. He appealed to the Corinthians to give sacrificially to the aid of Jerusalem congregation. He reminded them that God is the source of everything good. Believers are the example of the Lord of life. A stingy Christian should be an extinct species. Generosity proves that a person's heart has been cleansed of self-interest and filled with the servant spirit of Jesus himself. That is why acts of generosity result in God being praised. Amen. This ministry of service not only supplied the needs of God's people, but it overflowed in the people's thanksgiving and gave them the opportunity to thank God. Thing that was done to result in the Lord being thanked was more important than actually what you were doing. Just like the act of giving and these men that we don't know the name, it was more important for what they did rather than who they were. There are still other benefits that would result from the Corinthian gift. It would be proof of the reality of the faith of the Corinthians. Two more benefits follow. Because of the gift of Corinth to Jerusalem, Christians would be careful to pray for all the saints in Corinthians, in Corinth, and they would build up ties of affection. So they would start not only just giving you money, but actually caring for people. Paul reaches the end of this section of Christian giving. He is forced to think of the greatest giver of all, God himself. The greatest. So as we sit here and ponder or meditate on the things that's being said, let us remember this. John 3:16, and I shortened it. It said, for God so loved the world, he gave. Again, it's bringing us back to love and giving. Let us remember that all we have comes from God, and no amount is too small. If you give it with the right attitude, it can go further than you ever can imagine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to hear your word, to act on it, and to show our faith. Let us give from our heart, be cheerful, but most of all, help us to be Christ-like as we try and serve you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you for that lesson on giving. You know, Loretta, you cover all the bases because it is all kinds of giving, and it should always be cheerful, and we should always be excited about giving. And, you know, it's all in love, and it comes from the heart, you know, because all of our giving, because all that we have comes from God. It all belongs to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It all belongs to him. Yeah. And one thing for sure, we cannot beat God given.
That's right.
Cannot beat him given.
And it gave me pleasure just to to have that part of the lesson, because it's always a lesson in everything. The Bible is nothing but guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put your life under those guidelines, all that you need, you'll have. Amen.
Amen, amen. And then think about how you feel once you give somebody something, and they're looking at you giving it to them, and you're so happy about giving them what you're giving them, and then you can see them being, you know, being happy. And it's like an example that we follow. You know, they're looking at us, and then we're teaching them how to give. You know, even if it's a kid, you know, we have to teach them how to give.
That's right.
So we're giving to them, they're learning. So everybody is watching us and how we do. And, you know, you got to be happy about that. Yeah.
It's the enthusiasm from being able to help somebody or to do something that may put a smile on somebody's face. Because I've been
right.
on both ends. I've been given and I have given. And either way it goes, it still feels good to know that somebody loves you enough to want to help you with whatever you're coming up short with. Amen.
That's right. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lesson. We appreciate you, and we thank you for it, and we can't wait to hear more. Okay.
Right.
So have a great day, and we appreciate you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Beautiful lesson. We are going to have a song, and then we're going to go right into our service. We'll see you on the other side. Amen. Glory, honor, and power. Praise his name. Talking about giving this morning. God woke us up this morning. Are you happy about it? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice about it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministry Sunday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Sister Deaconess Lisa Thornton. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Hey, yes. Blessed day. Good morning. How are you?
We're wonderful. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, a pleasure, honor.
Take it away.
Yes. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners all over the world. We love you. We thank you for tuning in. We thank you. God is so good. I will be reading Colossians 3rd chapter, 1st through the 15th verse. Living the new life. That's Colossians 3rd chapter, 1st through the 15th verse. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this wonderful opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service, that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. Lord, we ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we ask you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen, amen. Living the new life. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Sister Lisa, for praying in scripture. And we appreciate you. And just have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Just say yes, you lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say that this life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours.
I'll just say yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen. To the one who recognizes that my life is not mine, it belongs to the Lord. So I say, yes, Lord. Jesus said it like this: deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow him. Say, yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. You need to sing these songs. I was just reading in Colossians where it says, and the Lord says, sing unto yourself. Sing psalms, hymns.
Yes.
Amen. And give praises to God. Amen. When we do that, amen, we encourage ourselves and we show our faith. God wants change in us. Amen. I'm excited about the lesson that Deaconess Loretta taught this morning, because when her and Deaconess Kathy Clymer said that you can't beat God given that, that made me smile, because last year, I'm going to share this with you, last year at Christmas time, it was all COVIDed up, so my wife wasn't running out doing a whole bunch of shopping, and we decided to switch to gift cards. And I noticed that every time we sent out a certain amount of money, it came back. So we increased the list. She added some more people to the list, and she sent out some more. And just when I thought we had beat God-given, amen, we sent another. I normally don't talk about our finances at all, but the Lord wants me to share this. We sent out another, I think it was $50, okay? And I said, okay, we got him by 50, but I don't mind, Lord. That's okay. But then my sister, my own sister, amen, Persia, amen, she sent us a gift that kind of tripled what the Lord did. And I said, Jesus, he said, what, you can't beat me giving? I said, no. I felt bad because I said, Lord, we didn't really give nobody nothing because you gave it right back to us what we gave. Amen. And he said, call the people you gave it to and ask them, did they receive anything? I bet you they tell you yes. He said, just because I did what I said I would do. When Loretta read that passage over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and the Lord will do this, he will see to it that you have all you need and more than that to pour out on other people. We experienced that last year, and God showed it to me in a certain way. So don't be afraid to give. Amen. Because when the Lord sees that you are a giver, amen, he's going to use you to give. And that means to give, you're going to have to receive. So you can do the far better. It's far better to give than to receive. Amen. God wants us all to do the far better. Hey, blame it on Lolo. She taught it up so well. It inspired me. Amen. God wants to see some change in us, y'all. Ain't no sense in getting saved and staying the same. Change. Amen. Sending this one out to our church president. She used to sing this song when she was in the pastor's chorus.
He was
change, a wonderful change. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have been truly moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
today. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this room right now. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are great, and you are mighty, and you are real, and you are pure, and you are holy. We love you today, Jesus. And we're so thankful, God, that we could lift our praises up to you. We're so thankful, God, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, because you are worthy, Heavenly Father. For we truly adore you today. We love you. We magnify you. You are everything, Jesus. Hallelujah. One more time.
Let us come to the Father in prayer, wherever you are, bow your head in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. You are always good. You love us so much, Lord, that you gave your one and only Son to die for our sin, that we may have everlasting life, that we would never have to be separated from you again. We could be with you forever, and we are so grateful for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because we are united with Christ. And every day we are so grateful for that, Lord. Right now, we pray for the church, Lord. We pray that we continue to come together. We've been through so much this past year. This past year and a half has been just a time of reflection, a time where we could understand where we are with you, Lord, and those who have done the work, Lord. We have grown so much. We've come together and we know you more intimately. We know that it doesn't take a building for us to be the church, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are so grateful, Lord, that nothing can stop your plan for us. We pray right now for the world, Lord. We pray for people who are still being attacked by this virus, Lord. We pray that they come to know that, Jesus, you have all power in your hands over everything that concerns us. We pray that more and more people surrender their lives to you. We pray that your church is able to show them who you are, that we are able to testify to the love that you have for us, Jesus, that we can show them that you are not this God who wants to hurt us and punish us, but you desire us so much that you chased after us and you found us. And all we have to do is believe that you died on that cross. You gave up your life. No one took it. But you were raised again on the third day with all power in your hand. Lord, help us to be who you called us to be. We pray for those people who are suffering in Florida. There are so many people who are homeless right now, Lord. We know that you have people all over the place. Help your people to come forward that we can offer a helping hand. Give us the ability to be able to help others so that they will see your glory in the earth, Lord. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones down in Florida right now. I just read the other day that there are people who have 15 minutes to go into another building to grab their personal belongings. And so many more are homeless. Lord, there is so much going on around this world today. But you said these things would happen. And you told us that we didn't have to fear. And so we, your people, Lord, are staying rooted and grounded in you, knowing that you are in control of everything. Lord, we pray for our government. We just heard recently that the Haiti president was assassinated, and we're still trying to understand what's going on. We don't really know. But, Lord, there is an uproar going on in every government right now. But Jesus, we know that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can put our rest in you. We have confidence, Lord, that we have confidence that you are in control. You are in control. Lord, we continue to pray that your people who are in positions of government, that they will come forward and make themselves known, that they represent your kingdom. Lord, we pray that you give them the courage and they trust in your word and that they don't have to fear man. Lord, give us all courage as we are headed back into our building. Remind us each day that you numbered our days before we were even born. And your word should give us comfort. Lord, give us wisdom as we move forward. Things seem so chaotic right now, but we know that you are restoring this world to yourself. And we thank you for that. We can praise you even in the storm. Every day that we are here is another day that we can bring you glory. And so we are thankful that you are the one and true and living God. You see us. You hear our prayers. You know us. And we thank you. Let your kingdom come in this earth, Lord. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Nicole, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Have a great day. Okay, so far, I'm excited. And I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. Icing on the cake. The best part. The next voice you will hear after this song selection to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Let's prepare to receive Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Sister Deaconess June Rogers, as she come in her own way to introduce our pastor of the hour, preacher of the hour. Amen.
Can't do it by myself.
And you can't either. You have already tried that, right? And it doesn't work. We all want to change, but there's this valley there. There's a whole lot of stuff that needs to be done in order for us to lose that weight or save up for that special thing we want to get. But guess what? When we're talking about the kind of change that God wants to see in us, he doesn't leave it up to us to do it. He does it. Wow, and who doesn't like new? Pastor is about to start a brand new series called Living the New Life, and today is going to be part one of that. Like I said, who doesn't like new? Now, I'm going to be reading a few of the scriptures that Deaconess Lisa already read this morning. Colossians, she read chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, I believe it was. I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. But I think that these scriptures are so important, we could just listen to them all day long. So it is written, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. And with Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world. You will share in all his glory. This is the word of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. I don't know what a blessing is if it's not new life. Let that sink in for a moment. People who have received an organ transplant will often say that they feel as if they have a whole new life. Then there are some who have had a close call, like a car accident survivor. These folks also see the second opportunity to live life to the fullest. But you do not have to go through anything like a traumatic illness or near-death injury to see, grasp, and appreciate the blessings of new life in Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. All you have to do is set your sights on your real new life that God has given to you. And here this morning to begin a brand new series on the new life is our very own pastor and teacher, Gerald Overall. Now, before he comes, I want you to reflect on the blessing that is his gift to Runner for Christ Ministries and to all listening in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person and that this is a gift from God. And so Pastor O has accepted the task of reconciling people to God through Christ Jesus. He is a true ambassador for Christ. So please accept him this morning, knowing that God is making his appeal through him in this special message and teaching. All right, my fellow new creatures in Christ, repeat this after me. Pastor O, break the meaning of living the new life down for us.
Hey, man. Thank you, Deaconess June Rogers. Appreciate you. Tell my boy Ray, I said, hey. Sorry he can't get out there on the water this morning. I don't know. He got an umbrella. Anyway, God bless him. Y'all have a beautiful day. Hey, man. Cannot thank God enough for all of the help that he has brought alongside me at Running for Christ Ministries. The Lord has done what he said he would do. He said Running for Christ Ministries was his, and he was going to bring his, what he calls, end-time saints into the picture to do the things, amen, and he's asking me to do that. I don't even know how to do. And he brought some awesome people to my side, and you had a chance to hear them this morning. You heard Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, and you heard Deaconess Loretta Welch, and doing an awesome job in that Sunday school, amen. And then you heard Deaconess Lisa Thornton, amen. She is really as sweet as she is here on the radio. She ain't never different. She always saying, come into church this morning, better be ready to give her a hug, or she's going to give you a face, let you know you ain't give her a hug. But anyway, she is just that sweet all the time, amen. And Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, amen. Personally, I know what she's been through. For her to get on here and pray like that, that's faith in God. Amen. That's sitting in the Philippian jail singing praises to God at midnight. So I appreciate her. And, of course, Deaconess June Rogers, altar caller, amen, Bible teacher, and some everything else. You just need to get to know her, and then you'll be like, wow, Jesus, all that in one person? Amen. Awesome husband. His name, Ray. Amen. Super blessing. This boy got so many kids. other than the kids, his kids, that he have helped to raise and nurture and father and show them the way in life. So it's a whole blessing thing that the Lord has done here, and I cannot thank him enough for that. Amen. And for everybody else at Running for Christ Ministries, I thank God for each and every one of you all the time, because you look like miracles to me. You look like answers to a prayer to me. You look like the removal of my fears of things that I can't do. And so God sent you because you can do. And I thank you for being willing to do. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity to go to church. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to hear your preached word. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who's going to empower us to live this new life. Help us to get the new life, Lord, that you, Jesus, was died and raised on the third day for us to have and now ascended into heaven. Amen. Help us, Jesus, to get into it before you get back. Amen. 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 Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so I hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, to change the way I think according to your word, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's a wonderful thing to know what pleases God, and it's even better to do that. Amen. Amen. I want to begin a new series. It's our responsive reading, and it's called Living the New Life. Amen. Living the New Life. This is a sad statement right at the outset that a whole lot of Christians never live the new life. Oh, they do get saved. They accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, but that's it. He never becomes Lord. He's just Savior. And that's awesome. That's good. But even the thief on the cross got something to say for Jesus every single day. Every time somebody reads that, somebody gets faith that if he could save him, he could save me. Now, we're alive and well and still here in this world. We ought to be saying something about Jesus. You know, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, seek to lead a quiet life. So that's right at the outset. That is something that we have to do. We have to seek to lead a quiet life. And then we have to do something really hard. Amen. The Lord asks us to mind our own business. And then the Lord asks us to work with our own hands. He says when we do that, we'll get the respect of those who are on the outside of the body of Christ. And here's the good news, you will not be dependent on anybody. Yeah, you know, I know what he means by that. And I know you saying to yourself, you can't go through this life without depending on somebody. Everybody needs somebody. Well, that's what the world say, but that ain't what the word say. The word says you will not be dependent on anybody but Jesus to provide all your needs. Amen. To meet every single one of them. Now, Jesus got bodies that he uses. We heard that. Well, we'll get into that when Deaconess Loretta moves forward in her teaching. Jesus got people who are willing to do whatever he wants them to do for whoever he wants them to do it for. He got people. Amen. And my wife and I didn't want to say it until the Lord told me to say it. We've experienced it. Okay, from the time we were married and to this day, only one person on this planet, well, they ain't on the planet no more, they in heaven, okay, but they could say they loaned us $260. But before the Lord called them from earth to heaven, they got it back. No other person on this planet can say that Pastor O, Sister O called me and said, can you loan me so I can do this? Can you help me out? Now, I'm not going to tell you Jesus. I told you Jesus got people. So he done brought people to our side to help us when we needed help, especially running for Christ Ministries. Amen. But Jesus called us to live a new life. Amen. And that new life is to be contrasted with your old life. Yeah. Look at verse 1. He says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, you've been raised, you've been elevated, you've been repositioned to live a new life. And because he calls it a new life, don't even think to yourself that you ever lived this life before you got saved. You didn't live the new life, and you didn't start living it until you got saved. You weren't even able to live it until you were saved, until you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Savior and Lord. Amen. You can't even live the new life. And even if you're saved but you're not following Jesus, then you're still not living the new life. This is not a new way to readjust the culture, get a new suit, get your hair cut, get your face all trimmed up. That ain't the new life. That's a haircut and some new clothes. That ain't the new life. The Lord Jesus died and was raised on the third day so we could do brand new, something we've never done before. The Lord didn't come into our life to fix up the little bitty broken parts that's not already new life. We can't go to the Lord and say that we are new life. No, we're broken life. We're, amen, sin life. We're sin-natured life. We're sinful life. We're apart from God life. You don't begin to get to live the new life or even have the potential to live the new life until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You'll be stuck in the old life. And if Jesus is your Savior but not your Lord, you're still stuck in the old life. You're still doing things the old way. But the Bible here says you've been raised to a new life. It's as if God took you out of one door, put you on the other side of that door and closed it, and now you're in a world that you've never been in. You're seeing things you've never saw. You're thinking thoughts you've never thought before. Why? Because they're all brand new, and they come with the new life. Amen. Since you have been, I love that. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have been raised up to live the new life. The new life has to be exciting to us. Who was that you heard Deaconess June Rogers say? Amen. Everybody like new? I got some new shoes. I got a new car. I got some new used stuff. We even got new used stuff. It's used, but it's new to me, so it's new used. Amen. We like new stuff. Every time a new iPhone come out, people like, oh, I'm finna go get in line. They ain't selling it till June, and it's February. I'm finna go get in line. I got to get the new iPhone. But the new iPhone costs over $1,000. That's okay. I got to have it because it's new. I still got a flip phone. Amen. Yes, I do. I do not care anything about no. These things are really not new. Solomon told us there's nothing new under the sun. But when you start walking with Jesus, oh, it's going to be new. I bet you when the disciples started walking with Jesus, when he finally collected up that 10, that 12, and got them following behind him, I bet you everything was new every day. Now, on the one hand, it's kind of disconcerting because you're not used to it. My wife and I had to go visit my son the other day, and he lives in Adrian, Michigan. And we had to take a route right here, left here, right. I'm literally left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, we think, thought. But we got there. Amen. But it was all brand new. So on the way there, we were kind of anxious about it, you know, because everything that we were seeing was not stuff we saw every day. We weren't used to this new way to go and see my son. We went to see him before when he lived in Morenci, but okay, now he's in Adrian. So just when we had gotten used to the Morenci way, now here comes a brand new way. And every step of the way, we were looking and and wondering, and are we going the right way? Will we get there? And guess what? We did not miss one turn, make one. We did on the way back, but not there. Amen. We went right straight to his house. And then we not only had to go from there, we had to go somewhere, but it was all brand new. And so living the Christian life, okay, is definitely opposite of everything we've ever done. I mean, think, what did you think about lying before you got saved? Well, everybody got to lie sometime. We even started saying stuff like, God don't even mind little white lies. Amen. But when you became a Christian, Jesus said, don't lie at all. Why? Because the devil lies. So what we were seeing was brand new. I have never lived that way before. It's like what Joshua told the children of Israel when they were about to cross over the Jordan and go into the promised land. He said, when you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God, you ought to move out from your old positions and follow it to the brand new life you're going to be living in the promised land, a land you ain't never been to, a land flowing with milk and honey, with houses you didn't build and trees you didn't plant and gardens and vineyards and everything you had nothing to do with. It's all brand new. But they had to walk their way there. Joshua said, when you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God, you, hey, sitting in the old place, sitting in the old way, ought to move out from your old place, move out from your old way, and follow it. Amen. Because we've been raised to live a new life, not the same old, same old, same old. I mean, really, you come rolling up to me with a car worse than your old, than your old car, and you say to me, this is my new car. No, that's another car. It ain't new. It's another one. It ain't new. But Jesus offers us a new life, a life we've never seen before, a life we've never even attempted to live before, and a life that is totally opposite of us. Amen? A whole new life. In the new life, he says, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. So in the new life, you're not thinking about blessings and breakthroughs. You're not thinking about houses, cars, and clothes. You're not thinking about worldly politics. You're not thinking about, amen, the things that we always think about. Jesus says he wants you to set your sights on the realities of heaven. And when he says that, God's kingdom rule, God's authority over us, God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven, set your sights on the realities of where you're going to live forever. We are totally sold out to this temporal world. Amen? We're so used to it. It's the temporal world. We pray to God to fix the temporal world. But here he tells us to set our sights on heaven. He tells us to look where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father in the place of honor. That's where we're supposed to be setting our sights, but our sights on bills. Our sights on flat tires, broke cars, no car, no house, no clothes. That's where our sight is. But Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom of heaven, amen. And if you seek that righteousness, you're seeking the new life. And guess what? I'll add this old stuff to you. I'll add the food. I'll add the clothes. I'll add the water. I'll even give you some of your wants, and I'll give you your desires. Never forget this. It's the Lord who gives you power to get wealth. Amen? But to get that wealth, you got to walk right with him. When you set your sights on the realities of heaven, and what are the realities of heaven? Righteousness. Amen? Holiness. Justice, amen, peace, love, loving kindness and mercy. Those are the things of heaven. Eternality, those are the things of heaven. But our sights are not set on the realities of heaven. And where Jesus said, if your eye is full of darkness, that means you're not, your sight ain't set on heaven. Your sight is set on earth. Your sight is set on get whatever I can and as much as I can when I can. But your sights are not set on the realities of heaven. on becoming holy because our Father in heaven is holy. Amen. Doing good unto others like Jesus did, not qualifying people, but helping people. They're qualified because they need help. Those are the realities of heaven. What the Lord tells us and how he tells us to live on this earth is what Pastor Terrence Tate was preaching about last week, us being the light of the world. You cannot be the light of the world if your sights are not set on the realities of heaven. Jesus always looked up to heaven. When Jesus prayed, he didn't do like we do. We like to bow our heads when we pray. Jesus looked up to heaven and prayed. The disciples, when they prayed over there in Acts, lifted their eyes up to heaven and prayed. Amen. Heaven is our reality. It is the reality of the lives we live here on earth until we get there. So we ought to be focused on heaven. We ought to be focused on Jesus. And that means we're focused on what Jesus is doing. June Wright is talking about 2 Corinthians, okay, talking about being an ambassador of Christ, that God is reconciling the world back to himself through Christ. And we are what? In Christ. And we are what? Christ's witnesses. Acts 1:8. God is using us to reconcile the world back to himself, not back to the world. We need to stop trying to get folks to become Christians by telling them God going to pay all your bills. God going to make you rich. Every single Christian on earth going to get rich. Every single Christian on earth going to have all their needs met. Amen. Now, the latter part is true. Needs. But see, we're in the whole want thing. And we try to get people to come to Christ by telling them Jesus is going to bless you till your socks fall off. Jesus, and that's true if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And let me tell y'all something. You better stop letting your pastor be your judge. You better stop letting your church folk, family, friends be your judge. You better let Jesus be the judge as to whether you are seeking him. Amen. You might be able to convince everybody in the world that you're seeking Jesus, but Jesus don't know that. You know why? Because Jesus don't see you in no Bible classes. Jesus see you in your house. You'll never study the Word of God. He knows that, but we're so fake, and we're so wanting to please our family and friends and church brethren and sistren that we just fake in front of them like we're holier than holy, but Jesus see you when nobody see you, and he knows that. Heaven is not your reality, and you're not focused on where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. You focused on this world and want everybody around you to think that you're just super-duper awesome. But Jesus no different. Jesus know if you think more about heaven than you do earth. Prayers will tell on you, brothers and sisters. I thank God that we have the gift to pray, but our prayers tell the truth about us. The prayers, see, look, God made us like this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we can't fake that. Whatever is in our heart is going to come out in our speech. It's going to come out in the actions and the way we live. And Jesus knows that ain't the reality of heaven. Staying up all night worried about a bill, worried about an illness. Amen. We need to get to the place where, I don't know, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I think that was Job. Job was super ill. You couldn't get, Job was sick and tore up from the floor up and like he just couldn't get well. Job's sickness was so bad. That, imagine, I don't know if you've ever had a boil, but his body was covered with them. And he took a piece of broken pottery, you know, like a broken flower pot, and he was scraping them boils open. Do you know how much it hurt to just touch one? I had one, and I had to have an emergency operation to deal with it. Them things hurt like never before. And he's sitting there scraping himself with broken pottery and still say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that I shall stand at the latter day. Lord, have mercy. See, that's when your focus is on heaven and not on earth. You learn to do like Paul and Silas, sit in that Philippian jail and sing praises to God at midnight when your focus is on heaven and not on earth. But when your focus is on earth, you talk about what people are doing all the time. When your focus is on earth, you're talking about them, and you talk about those, and you talk about this, and you talk about that. See, one time I was riding with Pastor Earl M. Brown. He was my second pastor. I only belonged to two churches in my life, and that was Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church and First Baptist. My first pastor was Joseph Barlow. He taught me how to preach. Pastor Brown taught me how to build, and Pastor Davis taught me how to go to church. Amen, as a preacher, amen. But one time I was with Pastor Brown, and we was headed to his favorite coffee spot, amen. And he allowed me for, I guess, 15, 20 minutes to just talk about everything that was going wrong. I was completely focused on earth. My sights was not set on heaven. It was set on earth, and I was telling him about every wrong thing in my life, wrong thing in the world, and he sat there patiently and listened to me. As soon as I just talked so much, I couldn't even hardly breathe no more. He says, you know what, bud? You've been talking to me for the last so many minutes about everything that's not for you and everybody that's not for you and everything that's against you. I haven't heard you once mention that God is for you. And we know that if God be for us, amen, the whole world can be against us. Look at how Pharaoh was against the children of Israel. He was against them. But God was for them. Tore Egypt up, hit him 10 times. And God proved that he's sovereign. He proved that he's Lord and King of kings. What did he do? He took out the firstborn of every Egyptian. And then they knew God ain't playing for a little while. But then they got crazy again. And they set their sights back on earth. And the children of Israel, they got scared at the Red Sea, and they set their sights on earth. And they started panicking. They started accusing Moses of bringing them out of Egypt to only have Pharaoh slaughter them at the Red Sea. But then Moses, amen, had a little talk with Jesus. And Jesus said, why are you panicking and calling out to me? And he reminded Moses that he had gave him that staff to perform awesome miracles. And Moses said, oh, snap, toward the Red Sea, and held that staff out against the Red Sea. And he didn't hold it out for 5 minutes. He had to hold it out all night. See, that's what happened when you set your sights on heaven and not on earth, where Christ sits at the right hand of his Father, our Father in heaven. And what happened? God parted the Red Sea. See, you need to understand something. He didn't just part the Red Sea because they had wagons, they had horses, they had people who had to walk aground or walk across. And if you've ever seen the bottom of a sea, it is not a smooth place. And so God made a road, smooth road, one that the chariot wheels, as far as Israel was concerned, wouldn't sink down in it. But they went across on dry ground, not dry rocks, not trying to carry a wagon over this rock or that rock. But God showed up, and God showed out for his people and made a way. Amen. Jesus wants us to set our sights on heaven. You don't set your sight on Jericho's walls. You don't set your sights on a Jordan River that's over at flood stage. But you set your sights on Jesus, to the river, who brought you to the walls. If we got a saying, don't we? If the Lord bring you to it, come on, somebody. He going to get you through it. Come on, huh? So you look at that thing that God had brought you to and know this. You need to go tell that thing. You know that thing that you believe is holding you back from God's will for you? Amen. God's intentions for you? You need to tell that thing. You need to get out of the way. I remember when Daniel prayed. God let us see what happened. Just like with Job, God allowed a demon. God said yes. You know his promises are what? Yes and amen. God said yes. But then the devil showed up. One of them demons showed up. The Prince of Persia, he's called. And he withheld Daniel's prayer for 21 days. But Daniel stood in faith. Daniel waited for his yes. And he got his yes. Amen. The Lord says, think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. So where your mind at all day, on heaven or earth? You know. You can't lie in front of Jesus. He knows our thoughts before we think them. So are your thoughts on heaven or your thoughts on earth? For you died to this life. Uh-oh. We no longer have a desire for this life because we died to it. Dead people no longer want to go to the show. Dead people don't have to go to Kroger's no more. Dead people don't have to wake up and say, I wonder what I'm going to do today. Dead people have no desires for any of these things because they're dead people. Somebody asked me, would you live in a cemetery for 5 days for $1 million? I'd take my little sleeping bag and go out there and be glad to live in there. I ain't worried about the folks in that graveyard. It's the folks who might come in there and steal everything while I'm asleep. Them live ones is the problem. What am I saying to you? When we got saved, something happened inside of us. Let me tell you something. Y'all know I love drag racing. Jesus killed it. Well, he didn't kill it. My love for Jesus killed it. You get that? You died to this life. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. But to do that, guess what you got to do? Deny yourself like you did. You got to reckon yourself dead to this world, but alive to God. Again, that takes us back to set your sights on the realities of heaven. The realities of heaven overrule the realities of earth. The realities of earth are based on what heaven allows or don't allow. Earth can't do nothing by itself. The earth can't produce nothing by itself. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. You know, in Romans, I was puzzled one time. And over there in Romans chapter 8, it said that the whole earth is waiting, longing, anticipating for the sons of God to be revealed. And then it talked about how the earth itself was subjected to rot, death, and decay. Why? Because of man. We fail, the earth fail. Tree leaves start falling off. That didn't happen before Adam and Eve messed up. Okay? The lion looked over there at that little lamb it was next to, and then Adam said, where the lamb go, lion? The lion like, what lamb? Everything changed. Amen? But guess what, y'all? We are hidden in Christ. And your real life is not this one on this planet that you've imagined it to be. But your real life is your eternal life, which is in Christ in God. When it says hidden in Christ, that means concealed and safe. When you put something in a safe, you're doing two things. You're concealing it from everybody to see it, and you're also making it safe. We are in Christ. And our life is hidden in Christ. The Bible says, and I believe it's John's epistles, chapter 3, it says, it does not yet, I love it in the King James Version how it says it, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. And verse 4 says, and when Christ, who is your life, see, you think something else is your life. You think being a teacher is your life. You think being a mechanic is your life. You think being a scientist is your life. Being president is your life. No, that's not your life, because all those things end when you die. Only what exists after we pass from this life, that's our life. Have you been getting into the life God's prepared? See, Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And then when the time is right, I'm coming back to get you, to receive you unto myself, so that you can be with me where I was. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 as I come to a close for the day. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. You know what he said? He said, Father, restore unto me the glory that I had with you before the world was. Why was he asking God to restore his glory that he had before the world was? See, Jesus knew this life on earth was here to save us, to reconcile us back to God. But he knew This was not his life. His life was in heaven, where he came from. So he asked his father to restore the glory that he had with him before the world was. But guess what Jesus said? I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. So our life here on earth is simply to finish the work that God gave us to do when we got saved. And what's that? Acts 1:8, you going to be my witnesses? What is that? Teach them what I taught you, Matthew 28. And what is that? Galatians 6:10, help those in or outside the body of Christ. What is that? Let your light so shine that men see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Not somebody on earth, but in heaven. The Lord has called us to live a new life, y'all. And guess what? The new life, even though it's hard to live, is better than the old life. The new life comes with so many blessings. The new life comes with relief. The new life says over in Philippians chapter 4, the new life says we don't have to worry about anything. Instead, in the new life, you pray about everything. In the new life, you don't run to this one or that one or those or them, but you run to God and tell him what you need. And you, in the new life, remember what God has done for you every single time you had a problem. And if you do that in the new life, the Lord said, you will experience a peace, amen, like Paul and Silas, where the people who were in that Philippian jail, they listened to them while they sang praises to God at midnight, and they were amazed. How could they be in the same Philippian jail in the dungeon and we not? But they're in the dungeon and they're singing praises to God at midnight and we've got woes. They're living a new life. In a new life, you don't have to worry. In a new life, you cast your cares on Christ because he cares for you. But guess what? We won't experience all that this new life is that he has called us to live because he ain't just called us to start living the new life on earth. We're going to live the new life forever. It won't get over with. God's given us forever to live the new life. And the new life is better than the new life is better than the Old Testament. And the Old Testament folks died under the law. They suffered under the law. But then in the New Testament came mercy and grace, and that came through Christ Jesus. And he came to take away the sting, the penalty of death, and give us a new life, an eternal life. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has called us to live the new life that he has given us. So in our next installment, we're going to start talking about some contrasts to the old life versus the new life. Amen. Amen. God bless you and God keep you. And my prayer to God is that you live the new life. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you that you give us a new life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you didn't just come to fix up this old life. You didn't come to take your patch from a new garment and put it on our old garment. But you came to make our life new. You did not come to pour your fresh, unfermented wine into these old wine sacks that would just expand and bust. But you put the new wine into new wine sacks so that both are preserved. And we thank you, Father, for the new. And we pray that we walk into the new away from the old. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for the new life. Amen, Crystal. It's all you.
Amen. Well, I don't know where Deacon Ed Reed is, but I've been hearing him all morning in my head. I'm like, we gonna hear that 100 times today, because Lord have mercy. That word was amazing. You know, it's very easy for us to get sidetracked and be only concerned about ourselves and this life. And it really is a mindset. It's an attitude that we have to see ourselves past this earthly realm and envision ourselves and see ourselves in the heavenly realm. Eternity is where we're going to spend our lives forever. This life down here is strictly, I hate to call it practice because we don't do very well down here, but thank God that he is forgiving and he is merciful. But eternity is what matters, and so we do all have to focus on the things that are going to last forever and not the things that are here temporarily. It's very easy for us to get caught up in worldly things, but in reading your word and realizing what Jesus has done for us, there is a life that is past this life that we are going to be in forever. And I will say this, Pastor, if you pack me your bag and give you a sleeping bag and go sleep it in that cemetery, I'll take a cut of that $1 million, but I ain't going out there sleeping in no bag. I'm sorry. I know it didn't go on, but I'm good on that. You may have to ask me what I bungee jump for $1 million. I might bungee jump off something for $1 million, but I ain't going to sleep in no cemetery. Ain't nothing there, like you said. The dead people ain't the ones you got to worry about. Amen. So thank you for the introduction to this new sermon series. We are all going to be looking forward to what is to come in this new life. So go ahead, take your break, bring it down, calm it down. I'm going to stay in my lane, and I'm going to read these announcements. Amen. So happy Sunday. Good morning, everybody. Of course, we welcome everyone here to our Sunday morning worship service, and we're so thankful for all who tuned in this morning, whether you're an old listener or a new listener. Of course, welcome. We hope you had a wonderful time in the Lord this morning. We always want to acknowledge our pastors at Running for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Terrence, Pastor Janine, and Minister John McFall. It was so good to hear his voice yesterday. We are so thankful for all of our shepherds and leaders at Running for Christ Ministries. We are being led in the right direction. We are being led to follow Christ. It's not about following a person, following a person who is following Christ. So we know that every single one of these people that run for Christ are doing that, and we are so very grateful and thankful. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." And so we thank you, Pastor O, for being that messenger of good news today, preaching the word of God to not just us at Running for Christ Ministries, but because of the Blog Talk Radio platform that God has so eloquently put in place. People all over the world who need to hear the word of God are able to do so. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. So just a couple of reminders that our Bible reading class is held here on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Excuse me, Deacon Eric Reed will be teaching, 2 Chronicles chapters 26 through 30 questions. I don't know where I saw the questions in my email, so that may be me just having accidentally overlooked them. But nevertheless, if they have not been sent yet, keep an eye out on your email, as well as going online to our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes. Once they're posted, you will be able to find them there. Amen? Amen. So every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio, teaching in his series Training Day. So if you're not tuning in, make sure to set yourself a reminder for each week on Tuesday and tune in at 4 p.m. If y'all are not listening, y'all are missing out. Such good information. He used to come here on Blog Talk and preach like on Saturdays, like the 4th and sometimes the 5th Saturday, and it was just never enough time. So he has his own hour. And when I tell you he's full, he's still full. So if you're not listening, you're missing out. So make sure to tune in on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Every fourth Wednesday of the month, this month our fourth Wednesday is July 28th, from about 10 a.m. for setup to about 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon, until November. First for Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, Pastor O, as well as anyone else who would like to join in, is out at the bus stop in front of Running for Christ Ministries, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles, lunches, etc. So if you are able to make it out on the fourth Wednesday of this month, July 28th, please do so. All are welcome. Amen. So also, just to remind everyone, that our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn has launched her own blog talk radio show entitled Back to the Family. And it discusses the deteriorating condition of the family today and explores biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. So Kathy will be back on today at 4 p.m. with a continuation of Back to the Family. So you can find the link to her show on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. The phone number is there. It is different than the phone number we call to attend, you know, Bible classes and services. So make sure that you're paying attention to the number. So again, rfcm.org under Christian Resources, and you'll be able to find that information. Amen. A reminder also that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. rfcm.org under Blog Talk Radio tab is where you'll get that access 24/7, 365 classes and services, again, for free. Download them and share them with others. Amen. If you'd like to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to pay tithes or give anything additional towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, you can visit the church website. Again, that's rfcm.org. You'll find all the info you need listed there. Amen. In addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for the preacher today, Pastor O, please send your love offering via pastor's website, which is pastorgmo.com, Pastor God's My Owner, GMO.com. Amen? Amen. So we all know that a conversation is when one person is speaking, then the other person is listening, then vice versa. So I speak, you listen, you speak, I listen. That's a conversation. And we know that this is how our prayers should go. We know that prayer is simply having a conversation with the Lord. We also know that prayer is essential to bringing heaven down to earth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, to pray like this. Say, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. We have been commanded to seek God in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving the purpose that God has created for each and every one of us. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we ask that you pray for those who are sick, those who are shut in, one another, of course, and don't forget to pray for yourself. Pray for our children. It's the summertime, and they just be getting crazy wild out here. So pray for our kids, our nation. Nicole did a wonderful job of speaking about that in her prayer. You know, our world, our leaders, the many missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and abused, and, of course, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and service to the Lord. Special prayers, of course, go out to all of our mothers at Running for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn and Mother Persia. Keep in prayer Reverend Richard Overall, Tyrone Hamilton, Pastor John Mack. If anybody listened to Elder Joe Stevens yesterday, when I heard his voice, I was like, Lord, something's not right, because he had a very different tone yesterday. You can tell that his heart was heavy about some things, but he still came through and brought the word of God. So he did ask for prayer for himself and his wife, as well as his family. I know his, I believe he mentioned that his wife had been hospitalized, and the nurse was there yesterday at home with her to come and take care of some things with her. I believe he mentioned his mother, and I also believe that he mentioned his stepfather. So please just keep him and his entire family lifted up in prayer. Of course, all those in Florida, who lost their loved ones in the condo collapse or whose loved ones are still missing. Of course, all the victims and families of these mass shootings and this gun violence and you know, as well as all of those who are lost every day due to just the unnecessary crime and ridiculousness that happens on a daily basis. There's so much to pray for, and sometimes it gets to be overwhelming, but just ask the Lord what he wants you to pray for. Ask him. He gives you wisdom. He'll tell you what it is that you need to know, and there's so much going on all over the world, and it seems like it's impossible to pray for everything all over the world, but God knows. So just communicate with the Lord, and guess what? He talks back. Amen. Amen. He hears us. He hears us. He knows our hearts. He hears everything. So make sure you're communicating with the Lord. Amen. So we must pray for all of those who are spiritually lost and confused. You know, those who the devil basically have convinced that God is not who he is. Okay. Even Satan knows that God is real. And even he knows the Lord personally. So do not let him trick you out of your relationship with God, okay? Remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, your household today, Judea, your community today, Samaria, outside of your immediate community today, and to the ends of the earth." And now we know these are communities and people and places that you ain't going to, you ain't talking to, you ain't bothered with them because they just sinning way too much. Well, they need the word of God too. And it's our job as the body of Christ to spread the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell has been prepared for the devil and his angels, not people. You know, we know that, unfortunately, some people will end up there in eternal torment. Just like Pastor talked about today, we have to set our sights on eternity. Well, there's an eternity in heaven, and there's also an eternity in hell, okay? So this life is short. You know, we may live 70, 80, you know, 90 years. Some people, you know, 100 years old. My grandmother died at 101, you know, and she was only been gone for so not even 10 years or so, but, you know, God is not bound by time. We are. So we think 70, 80, 90 years, we think that it's a long time, but to God, it's like a millisecond. It's literally a blink of an eye. You know, so this life that we live on this earth is very short. So do not stand in line and force yourself and force your way into a place that was not created for you, okay? So just think about that. Hell was not created for people. People go end up there because they took their whole entire lives and never gave it to Christ. Don't force yourself into a place that wasn't created for you. Amen? Amen. So Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "But let us not mourn as those who have no hope." Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, "He," and that he is Jesus, "will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All of these things are gone away forever." So when you're sad and heartbroken, of course, over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with the loss that we see, hear, and read about all over the world on a daily basis, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give you. Amen. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers. And we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Amen. So one of the ways that God meets our needs for companionship is through the church. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become one not only with him, but with every other believer. The church is called the body of Christ, and one of its purposes is to meet our need for a person-to-person connection. A spiritual body works much like a human one. Parts are both independent and interdependent, each needing others in order to function. To be spiritually and emotionally healthy, we all need support from our brothers and sisters in Christ. In his letter to the Ephesian church, Paul emphasizes Christ-like character qualities that make this possible: humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, and love. He also admonishes or urges believers to accept one another It's Romans chapter 15, verse 7, and to bear each other's burdens. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. So you see, we're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. We need one another in order to become our true selves and to bring God glory through the church. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love for one another. That's John chapter 13, verse 35. We are a family, of course, the body of Christ, and it expands the entire earth. So remember that we need each other. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not always in the form of money or things. A kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So now everybody walking around with no mask on, you know, whether they're vaccinated or not, nobody's wearing masks anymore. So one of the things that we couldn't see from people is whether they were smiling at you or not. You couldn't read lips because everybody's got a mask on. Well, now nobody's wearing their mask like they should be. It is what it is. So how about you, instead of being mad that somebody don't have their mask on when you feel like they should, how about you smile at them? How about you say a kind word? Good morning. How are you? Have a good day. Things like that. Those things go a very, very long way. So, again, a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So you may not be able to talk to someone personally, but a person may be able to see your smile from across the room or across the street or whatever the case may be. So make sure to smile. Amen. Take time out to be a ray of sunshine to someone today. It's cloudy and rainy outside, but in your world, you can be the sunshine. So Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? And to our Running for Christ Ministries family, we're not together physically, but we are counting down the days because we are coming back together on August the 1st. But we are together as we always have been in spirit. And as the Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, I also tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And we know that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit have come together this morning. So we thank God in advance for our answered prayers. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30 reads as follows. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all of this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray and I do not burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. So your devotional for today, developing faith through adversity, and this is from Dr. Charles Stanley. It doesn't seem fair, does it? Paul spent his life serving Christ, and yet he experienced continual suffering. Why would God let one of his most faithful servants go through so much pain? This isn't just a question about Paul. It's an issue we face today. In our minds, the Lord should protect his loyal followers from hardship, but he doesn't necessarily do so. Maybe our reasoning is backwards. We think faithful Christians don't deserve to suffer, But from God's perspective, suffering is what produces faithful Christians. If we all had lives of ease without opposition, trials, or pain, we'd never really know God because we'd never need him. Like it or not, adversity teaches us more about the Lord than simply reading the Bible ever will. I'm not saying we don't need to know scripture. That's our foundation for faith. But if what we believe is never tested by adversity, it remains simply head knowledge. How will we ever know the Lord can be trusted in the midst of trouble if we've never been challenged by hardship? God gives us opportunities to apply scriptural truths to the difficulties facing us, and in the process, we find him faithful. For example, how would Paul ever have known the strength of Christ if he had never been weakened by pain, persecution, and adversity? Depending on your response, trials can be God's great means of building faith or an avenue to discouragement and self-pity. If you believe what Scripture says and apply it to your situation, your trust in God will grow and your faith will be strengthened through adversity. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Gave me a good time
Amen.
To get myself back together, get myself in order,
Amen.
And get back in line.
Very good. Amen.
Thank
you. Praise the Lord.
You're
welcome.
Have a blessed day.
All right. You too.
Hey, man, we thank God for each and everybody who took part in the service today, and especially all of you who listened in today. And we pray that you allow the Lord to show you the new life. What you just heard Crystal reading, yes, that's part of the new life. We shall be his witnesses. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul talks about everything that he had to go through in this new life. Amen. See, in our old life, the devil, you know, he kind of loved us because we were like doing his thing. We were apart from God and probably living apart from God. So when we come into the new life, the devil ain't our friend no more. He's the prince, the power of this air in this world, the ruler of darkness in this world. Okay? But if we walk as light in the world, the light cannot overcome, the darkness cannot overcome the light, as John the Baptist told us about Jesus, and the light never did. Amen. The darkness never did overcome the light or comprehend it. Amen. Amen. So we pray that you allow the Lord to live, to lead you into the new life, away from the old life and into the new life. And like Jesus says, behold, I make everything new. So embrace it. Even though it comes with its difficulties, even though it comes with its challenges, embrace it. It is more powerful to live the new life than it is to be a saved Christian who sticks with the old life. I want to send a special happy birthday out to Crystal and Logan. Amen. They'll be celebrating their birthday tomorrow. Turn up time responsibly. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful Sunday. And if you really want to be happy, listen to Kirk. Amen. And he'll tell you.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just want to be happy. But if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired,
but it only works
if you want to be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you want to be happy?
Yeah.
I just want to be happy.
But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start, so I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hand. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way.
You've been there too long.
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
I feel this one right here. You're tired of you, then say,
I just wanna be happy.
Now, if you really mean that, open up your heart and say,
let me hear you say yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're tired of going in circles,
let me hear you say yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Tired of making the same mistakes,
let me hear you say yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well, now's your chance.
Let me hear you say yeah,
say yeah,
yeah.
Are you ready? Come on!
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take the wheel.
Wanna do it?
He knows the road that you need to take.
It's so easy to complain.
It's so easy to complain.
Come on!
Addicted to the pain.
Yeah.
You give your heart, they push it away.
But somebody that'll never leave you. Long time, but I'm ready.
I just wanna be happy.
Thank you, Lord. Every day, ask yourself,
do you wanna be happy?
Yes. Pull over, let him drive.
I just wanna be happy.
Who that on my porch? God bless. Oh, this is Michael.